Colonel Walton, Reel 4. You were just saying, Colonel Walton, how in Malaya it was a bit different with making contact with the local population.
Yes, well, the reason for that was I was in the Malay regiment, and all my troops were Malays, and all the officers were, other than the British officers I had, and it was quite the no normal thing to go into their houses and, for a meal.
Were there any problems with mixing with Indians socially because in this way because of the caste system or anything of that kind, or because of purdah?
No, Purdah, of course. You wouldn't see their wives during the way, and they were in Purdah, but there were no problems over that at all, I don't think.
Did you enjoy your time in India?
Oh, yes, thoroughly. I've always said that.
What other Europeans did you and your wife meet in India? I mean, by other Europeans, I mean non-army Europeans.
Well, there were business firms had representatives out there, and you met those, of course. And the police officers, of course. Yes, I don't remember in those days meeting a lot of English or meeting any English tourists out in India. Perhaps they didn't tour India in those days, I don't know. But I don't remember me eating them.
Did you meet the business people and so on through the clubs or?
Yeah, oh, yes, that was the great meeting place. Every, particularly in the smaller cantonment, every European in the cantonment was a member of the European club or a member of the club, whether it was classed as European or not.
Did you find that the European civilian in India had any different attitude towards the country to that held by the army officer?
He was generally a great deal better off financially, but no, I don't think so. They were out there doing a job exactly the same as we were. Some of them liked it out there, and some didn't. It was just.
Did their greater wealth create any problems for you mixing together?
No, I don't think so, because in the army, you had certain advantages. For instance, you lived more cheaply in the mess than they would live at the local hotel or at the club or anything, and that evened it up.
And did you make any special friends amongst the civilian population?
Don't think so. See, the army is such a bird of passage that you aren't often long in an area long enough really to make friends with people.
Once you were a soldier in India, did you always accept it as completely natural that the British Army should be in this foreign country, or did it ever strike you as being odd?
No, can't say that it ever did. It was one of the things you accepted. We'd always been there, and that was it.
Did you think that British rule was going to end soon whilst you were a soldier in India?
No, there were always sort of talks about it, but no, in my time it never got to anything frightfully important, you know.
Did you anticipate Indian independence coming eventually?
Suppose one must have done. I can't remember that I thought about it much, actually.
Did you ever see any evidence of Indian political activity whilst you were there, such as demonstrations or posters or anything of that kind?
Other than what I've already spoken about, the trouble between Hindu and Muslim, which went on all the time, no, I didn't see much evidence of that because there were not much question of sort of local elections anywhere, and that didn't. No, I wouldn't say that I noticed any. I don't say there wasn't any, but it wasn't awfully obvious anyhow.
What was the attitude of the Indian population to you as an army officer as you'd go about your daily business?
Well, I think generally speaking, it was accepted as a fact. I mean, all their lifetimes the army had been there, and they didn't see any reason why it shouldn't be. Added to which, if they were in trade of any sort, the presence of the army there brought them in money, which is the great thing where the Indians are concerned.
Did you think that British rule was a good thing for India or not?
Yes, I think it was because, however stupid and inefficient one may think local government officials are, the English Indian civil servant was definitely honest. I mean, there was no question of fiddling the petty cash or anything of that sort. Whereas I think you could not always trust an Indian clerk where money was concerned. If he thought, he wouldn't be caught, you know.
Did you ever come across any instances of corruption?
Not exactly corruption, I don't think, but I think petty pilfering went on an awful lot if it wasn't carefully watched.
What did you and the other officers think about the activities of Gandhi and the Congress Party in India at the time?
Well, I think most of us at that time rather thought that Gandhi was a nutcase. I mean, he used to go about looking most extraordinary. In fact, I saw him once. He was in Pune in that early time when I was out there. That was partly his area.
What was he doing?
He was just wandering up the street, actually, with a few of his followers. But I don't think he was much of a power in India at all.
Was politics discussed much by the officers in the messes?
Not an awful lot, no. Possibly it would have been a good thing if it had been, but I think the general attitude of the officer in the mess was, well, it isn't really any of our business, and whatever we think about it, we can't do anything about it anyhow. I mean, to get mixed up in politics was definitely not allowed.
What newspapers did you read in India?
There was a paper in Madras called the Madras Mail, an English paper. Which was a similar sort of thing to the Daily Mail in London. Can't remember any Indian, I suppose there were, but I can't remember any Indian printed papers in Meerut or any of those places. But we used to get the English papers out, They came out once a week with the English mail, the sea mail that was, and
And did you have access to wireless?
certainly not the first time I was out there, because it wasn't as common as it. Later on, definitely, yes, we got most of the important English news over the wireless.
I think there was an incident that you were telling me about in which you were ambushed on the frontier. Can you tell me about that?
Well, yes, there was one I remember in particular was a lorry had gone over the side of the road partly down the mountainside, and had to be rescued. And I went out with a small column the next day with the sappers, with their lifting gear, and we went out to the spot and did the usual, put out the usual protective pickets while the sappers were raising the lorry, and it took several hours actually. And of course, the local hostile tribesmen had been watching this all day and occasionally sniping, but not very much. But they realized that at some time we had to pick up and drive her home. Well, eventually we got the lorry up onto the trailer and started off home. And about halfway back, they ambushed us at the a small hill by the side of the road on the way back. Well, all those columns, either mechanized or foot, had a sort of laid-down drill for dealing with this sort of thing. The armored cars went up off the road, and the infantry pickets debussed and went out, and eventually the ambush was cleared. And I remember one incident which made me laugh. I was standing by the brigade headquarters truck in which the brigade signal officer had got the signal equipment, which he was wireless equipment, which he was talking to headquarters in Rusmak, and because the sniping was coming over the truck, he was lying on his back in the bottom of the truck with the mouthpiece talking to the brigade major in the camp, saying, "We're now being ambushed."